And if your heart is surrendered to the Lord, or even if you have a desire to have a surrendered heart to the Lord, just join me in raising our hands to the Lord as an act of surrender. Lord, we say yes. We surrender our hearts, our minds, our souls. We surrender them to you in Jesus' name. Amen. We thank the Lord for what we have experienced thus far, and we believe that the Lord is with us, and we will endeavor to present what the Lord has given us. We are embarking on a new theme for the next 2 months, and our theme for the month of May and June is the essence and power of the Word of God. The essence and power of the Word of God. We want to say thank you to those who supported in whatever way you did support the CDC healthcare professionals scholarship luncheon on yet tea. Was it a tea or luncheon? The tea on yesterday. We want to say thank you for the support. We hosted that support. We hosted that event here, and it was a very nice event. It was simultaneously going on while we had the Region 3 pastors meeting. So there was a lot of stuff going on here yesterday, but thank God it was a nice event, and we praise God for that. Amen. You all did a wonderful job. And just as a shameless, I learned this from Bishop Ulmer. This is going to be a shameless plug. This plug is going to be shameless. I'm just letting you know up front that this is going to be a shameless plug. But there were tables, and the tables were decorated so lovely. All of the tables. Shameless plug coming. There were shameless plug alert. The tables were decorated so lovely. It was beautiful, and there was a judging. And it just so happened that the table that our dear Sister Oneida, Sister Pam Martin, and Sister Rochelle Pay happened to design the table that was my table. Shameless plug. Shameless. I told you up front it was a shameless plug, right? All right. And we won first place. Amen. I couldn't say that yesterday. Somebody would have demanded a recount. But I mean, that tape, all of the tables were beautiful. But when I got to them, I said, wow, we have some class. We have some women and men of class in this congregation. I want you to know that. I want you to know that. I told them, I'm glad I wasn't a judge. Lord, have mercy. But shameless plug. I just kept my word on that part. Shameless plug. Coming up on the 30th of this month, Friday, May the 30th, we've been asked to come and preach for the 33rd anniversary celebration of Carson Christian Outreach Apostolic Faith. District Elder Thomas M. Alexander is the pastor. So we need your support. We need the choir on Friday, May the 30th at 7 p.m. Friday, May the 30th at 7 p.m. So please, if you're available, willing and able, please support us on Friday, May the 30th at 7 p.m. We We've been asked to be the speaker on that night, and our choir has been asked to minister in song. So you'll hear more about this, but I just wanted to bring it to you today because I just found out yesterday at the pastor's meeting. All right? All right, thank you in advance for your support. All right, our theme, the essence and power of the Word of God. Usually, when we have a theme, it's very important to get in on the first presentation of the theme because I think it kind of sets the pace on what we're going to be doing. And this theme is, I would say, a crowded theme, because there's so many ways that we can go when we discuss the essence and power of the Word of God, that I will lightly touch some things. It's my intention to lightly touch some things on Sundays and to get more involved and detailed on Tuesdays. So, shameless plug number two. So Tuesday, we can come and we can unpack some things as it deals with the essence and power of the Word of God. Amen? So we've been having some interesting Bible classes on Tuesdays, some engaging. Anybody that comes regularly on Tuesday? All right. Engaging, would you agree? Enlightening, encouraging. Amen. So those of you who didn't get an opportunity this time to raise your hand, we want you to have an opportunity to raise your hand the next time we ask a question like that. So if your schedule permits, and sometimes we do have power over our own schedules. So if you can rearrange your schedule to get here at 7 o'clock on Tuesday evening, we have our evening Bible study. And we're usually out by around 8:15-ish. Ish or adjacent, but we're usually out, right? If you come on time, we can endeavor to be out on time. But anyway, shameless plug number two. We'll see you at Bible class on Tuesday. But let's get into this theme, the essence and power of the Word of God. Essence, I looked up the word essence just in a regular dictionary, one of the dictionaries that I have. Here's what it says: the choicest or most essential or most vital part of some idea or experience. The choicest or most essential or most vital part of some idea or experience. Any substance possessing to a high degree the predominant properties of a plant, drug, or other natural product from which it is extracted. The central meaning or theme of a speech or literary work. All these are meanings of the word essence. A toilet tree that emits and diffuses a fragrant odor. And finally, as it relates to philosophy, the true nature of anything, the defining property or properties of something. So I thought about that as it relates to our theme, the essence and power of the Word of God. In order for us to get the essence, we need to get to the Word. Amen? Let's look for a moment at Genesis chapter number 1. Genesis, the beginning. As we're turning to Genesis, we are living in a day and time where the very idea of the existence of God is under a massive onslaught of attack. I read something. It was amusing to me, and I shared it with a few people. This is what I read. This is not an original thought, but it made me chuckle. The very fact that there are atheists proves that there is a God. Because if it was no God, there would be no atheists. That made me kind of chuckle. That made me chuckle. Now, here's something. The Bible in Genesis, the first chapter and verse number 1, starts off with "in the beginning God." It does not take any time to explain the existence, where God came from, but the Bible just states the fact, "in the beginning God." In the beginning, God. Now that's something that we have to grasp by faith. In the beginning, God. Now, we understand that God is eternal. So God is without beginning. So when the Bible declares "in the beginning God," the Bible was not saying "in the beginning of God." This is just the recorded record that God begins to relate about what he did. But it's not the beginning of God, because he is without beginning and without ending. We need to understand that. Don't waste your time arguing with someone about where did God come from. God didn't come from anywhere. He's always been here. God was never traveling anywhere. You can't check his flight schedule. Where did God come from? Nowhere, because he's always been here. Where did God come from? Nowhere. They're going to scratch their head when you tell them that. What do you mean nowhere? Because he's always existed. That's the statement of faith. And we can't shrink, no matter what academia or even some theologians will try to tell you, right? God didn't come from nowhere because he's always existed. And so God here is just letting us in on some of his work that he did. Right? So it's very important for us to believe that fact. The essence of God, God has always existed. And we're going to see, I'm trying to lay some foundational landmarks for our journey for the next few months. Right? God always existed. So we have to come in agreeing on that. And if you have some doubt, hang around for the next few months, and we're going to try to deal with some of them doubts. So, shameless plug number 3. This would be a good 2 months to bring somebody to church that has some questions. Bring that coworker, bring that that street corner philosopher, who's going to tell you everything about this and that. This would be a good 2 months to bring them on Sundays and especially on Tuesdays, because Tuesdays we can really unpack some stuff. All right? But God didn't come from anywhere because he's always existed. All right? But the Amplified Version says in Genesis 1, in the beginning, God prepared, formed, fashioned, and created the heavens and the earth. So this is the beginning of God's creation, not the beginning of the Creator. All right, because our Creator has no beginning. You need to know that. Now, it's important for us to allow the Word of God to interpret the Word of God so we can get a right understanding. So let's flip to Hebrews chapter number 11. dealing with the essence and power of the Word of God. All right? The essence and power of the Word of God. This is revealed to us by faith. By faith in God's Word. The Word of God. And when we deal with the Word of God, we're going to deal with the Word of God, the Old and the New Testaments. All right? Hebrews chapter 11 and verse number 3 says, the Amplified says, by faith we understand that the worlds during the successive ages were framed, fashioned, put in order, and equipped for their intended purpose by the Word of God, so that what we see was not made out of things which are visible. So that gives us a little insight on what God was doing. The invisible God. This is what he starts to reveal about his creation in Genesis 1 and 1. But Hebrews let us know that we believe this by faith. We believe this by faith. Right? We see that? Foundational landmark. All right, now the question might come, well, then what's this faith thing all about? We, by faith, we understand. How can we understand something by faith? How can we get an understanding by faith? You all asked a very good question. Let's turn to Romans chapter number 10. You all asking some good questions this morning. Romans chapter number 10. How Hebrews said, by faith we understand. Okay, so this, you mean to tell me that there's some things that we can understand by faith? Not by reasoning, not by intelligence, not by degrees, but there's some things we understand by faith. By faith. That's what the writer of Hebrews said. All right? Romans 10, 17. The Amplified Version says, so faith comes by hearing what is told, and what is heard comes by the preaching of the message that came from the lips of Christ, the Messiah himself. Oh, one other version says, so then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. So that means in order for us to have faith, we must hear the Word of God. In order for us to get an understanding of some things that we don't understand or don't comprehend, we have to have faith to get an understanding, because Hebrews told us by faith we understand. By faith we understand what happened in the creation because we were not there. So we understand it by faith. So since we understand it by faith, then we have to get some faith. So how do we get some faith? We get some faith from the Word of God. See, I told you this was crowded because there's a lot of thoughts in this thing. All right. Move with me to John, chapter number 1. St. John, chapter number 1. Putting up some foundational landmarks, just some highlights. But you have to come Tuesday to get the digging. Bring your digging stuff. Bring your tools at Tuesday. Bring your notebook. Bring your Bible and bring a pencil or pen. Amen. John chapter 1, verses 1 through 3. All right. Here's what it says in the Amplified Version. In the beginning, before all time, was the Word. Christ is in brackets there. You see that? And the Word was with God. And the Word was God himself. Lord, have mercy. Now, wait a minute. I just read in Genesis, in the beginning, God. So what are you saying? Well, it's going to take some faith for you to understand. Huh? And how are you going to get faith? By the essence and the power of the Word of God. The Word of God I'm going to teach this morning. Let me take my time. The Word of God. In the beginning, before all time, was the Word, Christ. So it reads, and the Word was with God. And the Word was God himself. Head scratcher. So you mean to tell me that the Word was Christ. And Christ is the Word. And the Word was with God. In fact, the Word was God. Absolutely. This is what the Word is saying. Is that what it says in your Bible? All right. Now, verse 2 says, he was present originally with God. Who was present? Huh? Originally with God. The Word. What's in the brackets? Christ. So Christ, if I'm reading this correctly, he was present originally with God. But in the verse above it, he says the Word was God. All right. Are you trying to purposely confuse me? No, I am not. All right. Look at verse 3. All things were made and came into existence through him. Through who? Huh? Come on, don't get scared. Huh? Through the Word. Through Christ. Through God. Huh? Somebody said through all of them. It's God. Because we're going to see it's God. Shameless plug, number 4. Bring your friends, your well-meaning friends of the Trinitarian persuasion for these couple of months. All things were made and came into existence through him, and without him was not even one thing made that came into being. So that takes us back to Genesis. Huh? If all things, huh, were made by the Word, and the Word was God, huh? Okay, let's drop down to verse 14. I told you this was a crowded thing. And the Word, is capitalized in my Bible. Is it in yours? Okay. So that wasn't a punctual error or a grammatical error in the Amplified Version. It says, and the Word, Christ, became flesh, human, incarnate, and tabernacled, fixed his tent of flesh. Lived a while. Ooh, look at God. Lived a while among us. And we actually saw his glory. Whose glory? The Word's glory. God's glory. The glory of Christ. All of them. The Elohim. The eternal, self-existing one. Mm-hmm. And the Word, Christ, became flesh, human, incarnate, and tabernacle, fixed his tent of flesh, lived a while among us. That sounds like a down-home expression. And we actually saw his glory, his honor, his majesty, such glory as an only begotten son receives from his father, full of grace, favor, loving kindness, and truth. So there's some questions that pop in our heads. So then, who became flesh? Huh? The Word became flesh. Christ became flesh. Did God become flesh? If we're reading this right, God did become flesh. The essence and the power of the Word of God, the Word is God. So if you have the Word, you have the very essence and power of God who became flesh in your flesh, if you have the Spirit of the living God. Still some foundational landmarks. Not, well, they, for some they're landmarks, for others they're landmines. Because we want to blow up some false thoughts or ideas. Turn with me to Revelation chapter 19. Revelation chapter 19. We're, believe it or not, we're almost done with the highlights, and we're going to move into our communion. But it's good that you all are here, because we want to whet your appetite. We want to whet your appetite. Revelation chapter 19. Just for if there's a few skeptics, then I have a couple of other scriptures that I'll share with you also. Revelation 19, verse 13, in the Amplified, John received this revelation while on the Isle of Patmos. Here's what it says. He is dressed in a robe dyed by dipping in blood, and the title by which he is called is the Word of God. So, the essence and the power of the Word of God is God himself. So every time we open up the Word of God, God himself is speaking to us. The God who can't lie. The unchangeable God. The eternal God. The faithful God. It is very important that we understand and believe and accept this, because that hinges on what we will find out about God and what we will receive from God. We have to understand that every time we open up this Word, we have an access to God, because God speaks through his Word in this day and time. All right? There's a lot of people in society who do a lot of things to garner success. That's not a bad thing. Anybody here want to be successful? It's not a bad thing. Success is not a bad thing. All right? It is not. So let me ask the question again. Does anybody want in here want to be successful? Good. Turn to Joshua chapter 1. I'm going to let you know how to be successful. And I'm not charging you like some seminar speakers would charge you. And you've had this, how long, however long you've had your Bible, you've had the keys to success. So however many years you had a Bible in your possession, you have had, now I'm not telling you to drop out of school, but however long you've had your Bible, you've had the key to success. Joshua chapter 1, verse number 8. Here's what it says. This book of the law shall not depart out of your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, that you may observe and do according to all that is written in it. For then you shall make your way prosperous, and then you shall deal wisely and have good success. So, who wants success? Wait a minute. More hands went up when I asked the question the first time. And I told y'all should be clapping. I showed you how to get success. Huh? It costs something for success. Huh? The essence and the power of the word of God will help you to get good success. This book of the law shall not depart out of your mouth, but you shall meditate on it. That means you got to read it. Meditate on it day and night. That you, not only do you have to read it, you have to observe to do according to all that is written in it. Read it and do it. For then, after you meet those conditions, you don't have to go out and buy another success tape, DVD, or whatever. You got it. You have success in your hand, and you ain't even know it. Huh? Don't spend your money. Don't spend God's money on another success seminar. You have it in your hand. Get it in your heart. There's a scripture that says, thy word, finish that, have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against you. Okay, now, if you allow me some liberty, let's finish that in our lives, not just in our mouths, because then we'll have good success. This is what the word says. All right, I need to go to Colossians chapter 2, I believe, because I want to deal with this word thing. I don't want people to be confused. Chapter 2, I believe is what I want. And let me see which, all right, was that 216? No. Ah, 2 and 9. This goes back to the essence of what we were saying in the beginning about the word was God, and the word was originally with God. The word became flesh. God did, in fact, become flesh. Huh? Okay. Colossians 2, verse number 9. All right. 9 and 10 actually will help us. The Amplified Version says this: for in him the whole fullness of deity. In him. In who? Christ the Messiah. Huh? Now, Christ the Messiah is the word. And the word is God. We don't understand this by common sense. We understand this by faith. By faith in what? By faith in the word of God. All right? So we have to deal with the same. We have to deal with the same foundation, so we don't pull stuff out of the air anywhere. For in him, the whole fullness of deity, the Godhead, continues to dwell in bodily form, giving complete expression of the divine nature. And you are in him, made full and having come to fullness of life. In Christ, you too are filled with the Godhead, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and reach full spiritual stature. And he is the head of all rule and authority of every angelic principality and power. So in Christ dwells all the fullness of God. So now this word is not confusing, but it's line upon line, precept upon precept. So basically, Paul is stating that in Christ we have Father, we have Son, and we have Holy Spirit. All the fullness of God dwells in Christ. And Christ, we have already read, is the Word. And Christ is God. So when you get Jesus, you have the Father. When you get Jesus, you certainly have the Son. When you get Jesus, you certainly have the Holy Ghost. Well, we need to get some more word, because some people are looking. Let's go to Isaiah. Let's go to Isaiah. Now, somebody should be writing some of this stuff down, because I know you got some friends that don't believe like we believe. And just let me tell you, we didn't believe like we believe until we receive this word. It is the same word. You see, so the argument, there really should not be an argument. Huh? But it is incumbent upon us to fulfill the Great Commission. And the Great Commission, as you're turning to Isaiah chapter 9 and 6, but the Great Commission that Jesus gave us, Jesus did not charge us to build a church. Somebody's antennas went up on that one. Jesus did not charge us to build the church. He said, upon the rock, the revelation that God gave to Peter, he said, I'll build my church. Huh? That's what Jesus said. So the charge for us was not to build the church. Head scratching moment. Well, what's our charge then? Glad you asked that. Y'all, the charge for us is to make disciples. That's what Jesus told us to do. He said, go and make disciples. So a disciple has to be disciplined in the Word of God. And if we are disciples and we're disciplined in the Word of God, we study the Word of God, and we don't study just for the sake of studying. We study it, we meditate on it, and we allow the Word of God to be incarnate and flesh in our everyday lives. Then we'll make disciples. And when we make disciples, we're not making disciples of ourselves. We're making disciples to follow Christ. I believe Paul said somewhere in this word, follow me as I follow Christ. So when we make disciples, we're making disciples to follow Christ. That's the commission. Go and make disciples. And watch this. He was not talking at that particular time in the history of the church. Jesus was only talking to 11 people. The word bears that out. He was talking to the people who he had revealed himself to. His 11, after Judas Iscariot was done away with. Remember, after the resurrection, I got to move quickly. After the resurrection, he told the women, because they were the women, shameless plug, they were the first preachers. They were the first preachers of the resurrection, but they didn't receive their report. So they ran down to the grave themselves. The women said, "He's alive," but they didn't believe him. Anyway, shame on the brethren for not believing the women. It's in the Word. It's in the Word. But Jesus was telling 11 men, those 11 men who had been with him for 3.5 years. So they were not confused about Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Because Philip said, "Lord, show us the Father." And Jesus declared to him, "How long have I been with you and you ain't known me? If you seen me, you seen the Father." No wonder Paul could come behind and say, "In him dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily." They were not confused. So the 11 men who were charged to make disciples got the message right. But somewhere along the line, denominations got in. Somewhere along the line. You know what? Oh, Lord, this has popped in my head. Denominations. There's a demon in the beginning of denominations. Lord, have mercy. Huh? Y'all looking at me like I'm crazy. But if you check your Word, it was 11 people who had the message. And they preached the same message. And then Paul came. He said, "I was not one whit behind the apostles." Because Jesus spent 3 years with him. Look at God. Jesus spent 3.5 years with the 11, with the 12, minus one because he died, right? And then Jesus spent 3 years with Paul in Arabia. So when Paul went to Jerusalem, he had the same message. So the demons brought the denomination. Ooh, this ain't popular. I hope we're still streaming. Amen. Y'all might be screaming, but the demons brought the denomination. Because on the day of Pentecost, they were all with one mind. Oh, on the day of Pentecost, they were all with one mind, one accord. They didn't, oh, Lord, there wasn't a fill-in-the-blank denomination on the day of Pentecost. There wasn't a, whatever the denomination is, there wasn't whatever the blanks. I'm putting the blanks in, it was 120 of them. How many we got in here today? But okay, we need 5 more. But anyway, there was 120 of them, almost the same number, huh? They were in one place, huh? On one accord, huh? They were waiting because they had received one promise. And the promise was tarry in Jerusalem, huh? Until you be endued with power from on high. And they believed the word. Because the proof that they believed the word, they didn't go nowhere. They stayed right there for 10 days. They didn't have a doubt. They didn't have a concordance. They didn't have books we got. They didn't have no library. In fact, they didn't even have the New Testament because they were living the New Testament. But what they had was the Word of God. What they had, they believed. And the fact that they believed it is they stood there for 10 days praising God just off of a word. How long are you going to praise God off of the word that you receive today? Can you wait 10 days? Can you wait 10 minutes? Can you wait 10 hours? But these people believed what they received from Jesus Christ. They believed the promise of the Holy Ghost. And the fact that they believed, the proof that they believed it, they were praising God. They wasn't in that upper room. About, well, I wonder what Jesus is going to do. No, they believed what Jesus had said, and the Bible said they were all there with one accord and one mind. They were all there. Even Mary, the mother of Jesus, was there along with the apostles. It was about 120 people, and the Bible said they was there with one accord and one mind. They were praising and thanking God. Just in case there's somebody in here that don't have the Holy Ghost, do what they did. Just start praising and thanking God. The Bible said, and suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as of fire. That's what the word says. And they were all filled with the gift of the Holy Ghost and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit of God gave utterance. That's what happened on the day of Pentecost. Oh, truly one Lord, truly one faith, truly one baptism. And this is the message that the world needs to hear in 2014. We need some people that are bold enough, that are brave enough, that are wise enough, that are caring enough and kind and compassionate enough to tell the people the truth about the Word of God. We have to tell them the truth. We're going to be held responsible when our friends, our family members, our co-workers, our neighbors are dying without having the truth. This very same word says, you will know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. And whom the Son sets free, who's the Son? The Word is the Son. That same Word that was in the beginning, that same Word who made everything, that same Word who was God, not only was God, but who is God, and who always will be God. And there ain't no other God but that one God, and his name is Jesus Christ. This is the one that we have to tell everybody about. Don't you dare close your mouth anymore. If you believe what they believed in the early church, listen, the Word of God is powerful, is sharper than any two-edged sword. God's Word is so powerful, and His essence is so rich, you can stand on the Word of God. You can stand on it. You can hide in it. You can move in it. You can feast on it. You can drink it. You can stretch it and study it. And it's enough to go around for everybody. We have to stand on this Word. We have the truth, but what are we doing with the truth that we have? The essence and the power of the Word of God. We got something that will last forever. Heaven and earth is going to pass away. But the Word is going to abide forever. What we going to do with that? And dare we walk around like we are defeated? The same Word says, I can do all things. Oh Lord. Well, get to doing then. We don't need apostolic and Pentecostal parrots. You can buy an African gray parrot. Very expensive. But you can buy them and teach them to say anything. God created them like that, with a mind that if you leave a television on or you suck any kind of audio, that bird will remember it and speak it. We shouldn't be apostolic or Pentecostal parrots speaking it, but we ain't coming down off our perch and did nothing. Still in the cage. Still in the cage. Say, hello. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. We got to live this. We got the power to do it. I can do all things. Greater works than these shall ye do. Get to doing. Oh, we can quote it. We can quote chapter and verse. We can quote it, but do we know it? That I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings. I may know him. All right, let me move on. Let me move on. Yeah, we need to have this many people here or more on Tuesday. Because we got some unpacking to do. We got some unpacking of this word and some application and implementation of this word. We lived on quotes long enough. Some of us. Because some of us been living it. But not all of us. How dare he? Yeah, I dared. And I'll do it again. Mm-hmm. Some of us been living it, but some of us haven't. All right. The word was made flesh, dwelt among us. The purpose of the word becoming flesh, because he is the Emmanuel, God with us. In that same word, he says, sacrifice and offering thou wouldest not, but a body hast thou prepared for me. Lo, I come. In the volume of the book, the volume of the word, it is written of me to do thy will, O God. What was the will? To come down here and die for our sins. That's why the word became flesh. Because God, who is the word, who is Christ, knew that we needed a savior. And because the salvation of mankind was of supreme importance to God, he would not trust it to anybody. So he came himself. The word became flesh, dwelt among us. So on Calvary, we see the word. We see the Messiah. We see the Christ. Being strung up on a cross, becoming a curse, because the word says cursed is everyone that hangs up on a tree. That's what the word said. He who knew no sin, he became sin for us. So if you're here today and you have not taken advantage of what the word of God in the body of Jesus Christ has done for you in the sacrifice of himself for your sins, we invite you now to repent. Change your heart. Change your mind. Change the direction of your life and surrender to the word of God. I tried my very best.